T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul Barkish.
I like this kind of party.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Analyzing the Bears and the NFL.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Hub Barkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, Allstate Arena. Tonight, 7 p.m., the Chicago Wolves host Grand Rapids in a battle for first place in the American Hockey League Central Division. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for tickets and join in the quest to be the last team standing. Hub Arkish of Pro Football Weekly and Sports Radio 670. The Score on Twitter at Hub_Arkish and with us now on WSCR. The Score. Hi, Hub. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're good. We're trying to look at a remodeled defensive coaching staff. At some point, even with all of the returning players, it's got to matter that there's this many different voices and this many different positional rooms and at the top of one side of the ball.
Well, I think to ignore the possibility of some issues with transition would be kind of short-sighted. But I still don't see it as a potential disaster down the road. There are a ton of qualified NFL position coaches. There are a number of NFL qualified coordinators. And then, of course, there's only a handful of really good head coaches. But when you look at the guys qualified to coordinate this defense, I don't think you could have found a better candidate than probably Chuck Pagano. He's got not only the coordinator experience, not much coordinator experience, but he's got 6 years successful head coaching experience, and he's got a pretty interesting coaching tree of his own. I mean, he has hired some very good coaches, including Bruce Arians and Greg Minuski and Terrell Austin, just a few that come to mind off the top of my head. So, you know, I think he'll put a good staff together. Now, all of that said, obviously, these guys were at the top of their game this past season for the position coaches they had. And so each of the new position coaches is going to have to form his own communication and alliance with his group. And that could take some time. I think that it's probably likely that they will not be playing as well on defense week one as they will week four or week five.
So I wanted to ask what you've seen coaching staff specifically on the defensive side of the ball when continuity is not going to be something in your favor going into another year, what they do to mitigate that. Like you said, is that individual rooms? Is that on a position-by-position basis where you fight some of that and where you succeed there?
Yeah, and, you know, guys, there's going to be a ton of work done long before they get to training camp. I mean, once the off-season program starts, the assistant coaches will be around the building. I mean, they're limited in terms of, you know, actual classroom work and what they can do, but they certainly can get to know their players. And then between the OTAs, now they are going to have just the one mini camp this year because you don't have Matt Nagy as a rookie head coach anymore. But even with OTAs, there are meetings involved with that they are allowed to have. And so the key is going to be for all these new position coaches to get to know their players and get their communication style down pat. It's going to be very important for Matt Nagy and Chuck Pagano and each of these new position coaches on defense to evaluate the guy that they're replacing and maybe what their style was, and at least be aware if there's going to be some radical changes in style and make sure that they do things to overcome that. But by the time they get to training camp, you know, each position group should be at least very familiar, if not relatively comfortable, with their new coach.
It appeared that there is a possibility that they would entertain signing Kareem Hunt. What was your takeaway from that press conference, from their how candid they were about it, from the fact that they specifically avoided closing the door on a controversial, troubled running back?
You know, it's to me, it's such a hot button topic, Dan, and everybody talking about it, that I've gone back and reread every quote from both Pace and Nagy, you know, four, five, six times. Ryan Pace, in fact, said nothing to indicate that he would consider Hunt. He simply said, "We're not there yet." And he said it a couple different ways, but that's really all he said. Now, Matt Nagy handled it very differently. He also was very clear that they're not there yet, that that's not something he's thinking about. But he did voice a very strong personal concern for the young man. He did talk about being raised to believe in second chances. Now, he said all the right things about, of course, you have to earn that second chance, and we're not there yet. So I do think it's fair to say, from what Nagy told us, that something he wouldn't rule out. I don't think Pace has commented on it at all, and we have no idea if either Ryan or Matt or both have spoken to the McCaskies about it. So,
but saying yet, if he says we're not there yet, that's very different than saying but that he is not going to be a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, but what he said, he didn't say they're not there yet in terms of whether they'd sign him or not. He said they're not there yet in terms of whether they'd consider it. And that to me is pretty clear. Again, Matt Nagy didn't say that, but Ryan Pace, in each of his answers, if you go back and read them, he said, we're not thinking about it. He said, we're not there yet. We're not at that point. We're trying to fill out our coaching staff. And I think one of the reasons Ryan has to be so careful is that the roster is his. I mean, you know, he was pretty clear in that presser when asked about Pagano. He said, well, you know, hiring coaches is up to Matt. Talk to him about it. Mm-hmm. The roster is his, and he knows it's not a move he can make unilaterally without checking how the organization feels about it. And I believe that they're not there yet. You know, the thing is fresh. He hasn't been punished yet. There's probably more information coming out. So I know it's something that we're all focused on because it's what we do and because it seems like a natural possibility. And I was a little surprised. David Haugh and I talked about this on the air Monday night. Dave was good enough to come out with me because he and I sat next to each other during the press conference, and we completely agreed that we were a little surprised how open and conversational Matt Nagy was about it. Mm-hmm. But again, Nagy said, you know, we can't even consider signing him right now. We're not there yet. You know, Pace said we're not considering it at all yet. So, you know, all we can do is take them at their word, but I do understand why we're all reading so much into it.
How important for you was it to hear Ryan Pace say these hires, the coaching hires, are Matt's hires? Because I had been left with a little bit of uncertainty as to whether or not that was going to be a collaborative effort to hire the next defensive coordinator. There was the way in which you kept Vic Fangio around. Was that a change of direction for them, or was that how you understood it was going to be going into that day?
No, I mean, you know, Connor, it was a collaborative effort in terms of, you know, getting a ready list, interviewing. I'm sure that Ryan interviewed with him too, but they've been pretty clear, and this was pretty clear with John Fox, and it's been very clear since Nagy got here that Nagy's coaching staff is his, that the 90-man roster is Ryan's, and the 53-man roster, for the most part, if a tie has to be broken, is Ryan's, but that comes down to, you know, they need to get there together when they make their final cuts.
What did you make of the very clear non-statement statement about Cody Parkey?
I mean, I can't blame him. You know, I think, you know, I mean, again, this is something Dave and I talked about, David Haugh and I. Nagy wasn't just, you know, answering the question. He was pissed. You know, you couldn't really read it any other way. And I think probably what he's upset about is that it's not that the TV thing in and of itself is such a big deal. It's just that it was a bad idea, which was magnified that much by the timing of it and the fact that nobody knew it was coming. And I think what he was so upset about is that the team reacted exactly the way he's taught them to and wanted them to, sticking up for Parkey to a man. And they really did. They were great in the locker room the Monday after the game. And then for him to show up Friday morning on a national TV show receiving some phony honor from people who didn't know his name was Parkey and not Parker, I think that offended everybody, you know, and I'm sure a lot of his teammates who were supporting him weren't real happy about it either. Not because it's, you know, some high crime or even misdemeanor, but because exactly as Nagy said, they try and make everything about the team, and that was a very selfish moment. You know, he was looking for some type of acceptance or vindication for himself, And I don't know how you expect to get that without realizing. I don't think he cost him the game. They didn't lose the game because of Cody Parkey, but he blew his chance to win it. And so why should he be out there getting validated when nobody else is? So it just had a real bad feel about it. And again, Ryan Pace is always going to be, you know, less committal. He's going to be, you know, more buttoned up, closer to the vest. You know, he was adamant. Yes, there will be competition at the position. And one nuance I don't think anybody's talked about is he didn't say that Parkey was going to be part of that competition. You know,
right.
So we'll see how that goes. But in the Matt Nagy case, I was a little surprised at how, you know, quite frankly, angry he seemed to be, only because he hasn't shown that side the first 11 months here. But he was pretty comfortable, pretty clearly uncomfortable with that conversation.
Do you think Ryan Pace would draft a kicker?
If there was one he liked, absolutely. But I think they've shown that there's nothing they won't consider in terms of adding talent and building this roster. Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with drafting a kicker if you get the right guy. The Vikings go use the pick on Carlson and cut him 3 weeks in last year, but then he goes out and has a pretty good year in Oakland. It looks like he could be the answer for a while. So if you get the right guy, then you use a, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round pick on him. Now, you know, taking Roberto Aguayo in the second or third round, that's obviously pretty dumb. But yeah, I could see them using a day three pick if they thought that they'd identified a guy they had to have.
Even in a year where your top couple of picks have gone to acquiring Khalil Mack?
Yes, because you'll get him on an inexpensive rookie contract that helps to nullify some of the expense of not having Parkey.
What has underpinned the Kareem Hunt discussion is the fact that the Bears publicly and privately have expressed a desire to have a little bit more dynamic presence in the backfield alongside Tariq Cohen, that they want this offense needs somebody who can stretch the field a little bit, who can run the wheel routes, who can catch the ball, move laterally, etc. And Kareem Hunt is not only a guy to do that, he's the guy to do it. It's the rushing leader. It's right in front of him to have an immediate answer after whatever suspension is served. Yet, Hub, it's a running back, and you should be able to find that guy wherever you want to find him. How do you think they're going to address this? Because we saw it with the way they force-fed Taequann Mizell into this, certainly about halfway through the season. That what do you think Pace is going to do? Let's take Hunt out of the equation completely and just say that's not going to happen. What's the best way for them to get faster, quicker, more versatile in the backfield?
Well, Dan, just before we eliminate Hunt, let's just remember he was a third-round pick.
Right.
They have a third-round pick. Jordan Howard was a fifth-round pick. So, I mean, this is something they're absolutely going to address during the draft. You know, the one name you're going to hear a lot of is Darius Geis out of Stanford, because everybody thought he was a top 15, top 20, and he surprised everybody and went back this year and then tore an ACL. So, you know, he's not going to be working out for anybody. He could very well be sitting there on day three.
Bryce Love.
You know, I'm sorry, right, yeah, I got the wrong guy. Bryce Love is who we're talking about. You know, if he is sitting there on day three, I would expect the Bears to take a flyer on him. I would keep an eye on Tevin Coleman, who is a free agent after, you know, sharing time with, you know, Deontay Freeman in Atlanta, and I don't think Atlanta is going to re-sign him. He is the style of back you're talking about. I don't know if he has the top-end speed that Hunt and certainly some of these other guys have, but he is of that style. The only name in free agency that I'm aware of right now, I know people love to have the Le'Veon Bell conversation, but he is no better fit for Matt Nagy's offense than Jordan Howard is. You know, he's a good pass catcher, but that's not what specifically you're looking for here. So, you know, I would say all of the above, free agency, draft, and even undrafted rookie free agents. It's a position, you know, I thought, you know, Baker Mayfield got the award. I thought Philip Lindsay was the offensive rookie of the year this year, and, you know, he was an undrafted rookie free agent at running back. So they'll dot all the I's.
Do you have any sense of how aggressive they want to be with their own cap space? I mean, I guess in reading around, it looks like maybe $15 or $19 million, something like that. And there are moves they could make with their own. Do they want to do that, or do they feel as though returning most of a 12 and 4 team is good enough?
You know, Connor, I have to apologize to our listeners because I've been dealing with a bad number. I've been studying these charts, and I kept coming to about $20 million in available cap space before the cap increases by $10 million. But these charts, I just noticed, have already added the $10 million, which is a bit risky because you don't know exactly what it's going to go up by. So, you know, I kept saying they had about $18 to $20 million, would get another $10. They've got about $18 to $20 million after the other $10. So that's where you're starting. I was looking at this just last night. There are probably three or four contracts that could be adjusted and create another, you know, $5 to $10 million in cap space. I'm sure they will look at that if for no other reason than it's good business. They normally you have to save $4 to $5 million for your rookie pool. They won't have to save, you know, they'll save half of that because they don't have the first and second round pick. So I'm sure they'll be as creative as they can with the cap. But at the end of the day, you're now looking at a best case scenario where they've got maybe $25 million in cap space and needing to either sign or replace, even though it's only three starters, in Bobby Massey and Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan, you could eat up, you're not going to eat it all up, but you could eat up a chunk of it right there. So they are somewhat handcuffed because of, you know, now the other side of that, though, is that they do have all this top-end talent. You know, they also have to be sensitive to the fact that if Trubisky is the answer, they're going to have to redo him in a year or two, and that's going to require a ton of space. You've also got a few other up-and-comers that they may want to look at. They got to decide what to do with Cody Whitehair. Do they want to let him get to free agency after this year? So, yeah, I think they'll be examining their cap options as closely as possible. They'll do some things to free up space. The two big ones that jump off at you, and I've been asked this question, could Kyle Long be a cap casualty? That would create about $8 million in cap space, and I would say absolutely not. They still know he's their best offensive lineman on an average offensive line. The fact that he did come back and play, I just don't see that happening. The other interesting one, though, is Charles Leno is going to have an $8.5 million cap hit this coming year. Now, I know they like him more than I do, and I don't think he's horrible. I just don't think he's a great answer there. Without a first and second round pick, it's hard to address left tackle. But if you want to talk about cap casualties, the only two guys that would really move the needle for him would be Long and Leno, and I don't see their ability to let either one of those guys go.
Oh, there you have it. We're going to do more with Hub after a brief timeout, talk about the Championship Sunday games that are coming your way on The Score. Rams at Saints, Pats and Chiefs, what those teams have in common, what the Bears might be able to emulate from some of what they've been doing. Although, you know, Bears weren't bad this year. Yeah. They really weren't. They might
decent
be
run.
Might be home, but they weren't bad. It's not like most years when we're looking at 3-13 and saying, how can we get more like that? I think Bears, they've got their team, they've got their plan, and we will see what Hub thinks of these games.
More with Hub when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment's brought to you by Subway. Subway now delivers your favorite subs, salad, or signature wrap straight to your door. Go to subway.com/delivers to order with Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, or Postmates. Delivery available in selected areas. See subway.com/delivers for details. We are talking football with Hub Arkish, as we do on Wednesdays during football season.
Just in the interest, Hub, of tying up loose ends, we were talking about the cap situation the Bears find themselves in before we move on to the playoffs. A lot of listeners and Bears fans, I assume, texting in asking about Deion Sims. Figured we'd forward that on to you as well.
Yeah, Deion Sims actually is another one who there will be some cap savings. Not any dead cap money, but he's on the books for about a $7 or $8 million salary. So my guess would be that he will be released and that they will pick up that money.
Gotcha.
The four teams remaining, the Rams, the Saints, the Pats, the Chiefs, those are in some order the top four offenses in the NFL this year. Connor just sort of threw out, he spitballed a number for Bears points per game next year, 24. That would be a touchdown better per game.
More.
Than last year. And I said, you give me 24 points a game, I don't care about all this defensive turnover, you're going to get to your 10 wins and you're going to get your playoff spot. Is that really the lesson to be learned, that you got to make defensive plays when the time comes, but the only way to really get yourself there is have one of these offenses?
Well, you know, when we say one of these offenses, you got to be better than the Bears were. I mean, you know, we learned that much. But, you know, some of these high-powered offenses, even though they are playing on Sunday, really struggled down the stretch. I mean, the Chiefs were 3-3. The Patriots were 4-3. I think the Saints, I want to say, were 3-2. Rams, these were all 500 teams late in the season. So, obviously, it helps now. Actually, the Saints didn't really do that much on offense to win their playoff game. You know, certainly the Patriots and the Chiefs and the Rams did. So, it is an ongoing trend in the NFL. But I think the other thing that you saw with teams like the Bears and the Colts and even the Chargers, as disappointing as they were last weekend, is that they kind of brought defense back too, you know. So, I certainly agree, though, that if the Bears can score 24 points a game next year, they're going to be in pretty good shape.
You made a mention of Sean McVay, I think it was last week or something, and all these organizations hiring coaches like Sean McVay because you want to have something like that. You kind of made an offhand remark that you'd like to see him win a playoff game. I ran with that in my head thinking, my God, if he doesn't, what does that say about so many others? Do the Rams, because of the weeks that they've had coming up to these playoffs, have the most to prove to you? Is that something where they've really got to show a backbone or something?
Well, I was very impressed actually with the way the defense played Saturday night. You know, they had been pretty awful for quite some time, and I mean they held Ezekiel Elliott to 47 or 49 yards on 22 carries. It was really impressive. The secondary is still not very good. I wouldn't want Marcus Peters on my team, but other than that, I think the Rams, it's not that I doubted that McVay could. Last year was his first crack at the playoffs. He certainly showed that he learned his lesson, and I thought his game plan was brilliant. Obviously the Patriots have nothing to prove, and we know about the Saints. I might argue that it's still the Chiefs. I can't ignore that. Going into last week, 0-7 at home, 1-10 overall over the last 25 years. And yes, they beat up pretty impressively on a Colts team, and I was very surprised and impressed by the Colts. But it is one of those, they weren't worst to first, only because they tied for last in the division last year and lost the tiebreaker for last with the Texans. But, you know, after the 1-5 start, they had the great run. They had some quality wins. But it's a roster you still see some holes in. Andy Reid's playoff record at home in Kansas City had been awful. And in Philadelphia, while he did win some playoff games, remember the wrap was 5 straight NFC title games and only 1 Super Bowl trip. So the Chiefs' defense certainly has some unique weapons in Chris Jones and Dee Ford, guys you don't know a lot about. But now this is the Patriots coming in. And so if there's a team that I wonder about the most this weekend, for me, it's still the Chiefs.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, Allstate Arena. Tonight, 7 p.m., the Chicago Wolves host Grand Rapids battle for first place in the American Hockey League Central Division. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for tickets and join in the quest to be the last team standing. It looks, Hub, like we're going ice bowling again this weekend, that the Arctic Blast is coming to Kansas City. And I read a statistic today that in the 10 coldest ever NFL games, no team has scored 30 points. So that is simply something that happens in these frigid, frigid games. We don't know exactly what the low is going to be. There's a wide range there. But where are you on these things, balancing the novelty with the fairness of asking elite athletes to perform under such conditions?
Well, you know, Dan, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the novelty part, who needs it? Nobody wants to sit out there when it's zero. But some of these teams perform in these conditions in the regular season to get here. I mean, you know, we see games like this in December, earlier in the playoffs. And I don't think you change the rules just because it's the championship game. I think it's part of the advantage to the Chiefs of having gotten the home field, and I'm sure they wish that they didn't have another northern team like the Patriots coming in, who probably have as much experience in the conditions as they do. But it's the nature of the game. You know, it's the way the game is played. We were kidding about this on the air yesterday. I have the distinction of having been the sideline reporter for what is recognized by the league as the coldest playoff game in history, just temperature, not wind chill. Remember, I did the Vikings and the Seahawks 3 years ago when they were playing at University of Minnesota Stadium, and the temperature was 9 below on the field at kickoff. And it wasn't the most comfortable day I've ever had, but it wasn't that different, by my observation, for the players, the coaches, and even the support people. That was a 12-9 game. You're right, the scoring was limited, but I think that was limited more by those two teams had two of the best defenses in the league, and neither one of them were particularly good on offense. And, of course, that was the game where Blair Walsh shanked the field goal at the end. But the one I look back on most is the upset of the Packers by the Giants, who then went to the Super Bowl a couple of weeks later and actually upset the Patriots too. But in that game, you know, Favre and Manning threw the ball around pretty well. Receivers made plays. It was zero. So I just think it's part of the game, and you know it's a possibility. And, you know, nobody's dying to play or watch in those conditions, but that's part of what you sign up for.
What's the most likely outcome for Antonio Brown and the Steelers?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't know how. He's a surefire, probably first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think you still just release him, even if he's not in his prime. He's certainly at 98% of it and may still be in his prime. You can trade him for lesser value because of the baggage he brings. But right now, we're having a hard time finding people who might be interested in acquiring him. It's a full Botosaurus, if you know what I mean. I know Dan knows what I mean. It's tough right now. I don't think Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin know what they're going to do. They're going to try and trade him. But right now, it's just not much of a marketplace. So he has really backed them into a tough corner.
Yeah, I wonder what it says that it's happening again to the Steelers.
Right.
We always talk about these cultures and all this, but I don't know if you can just pin the blame on somebody. People have said it's the leadership of Roethlisberger. Mike Tomlin is losing control of his team. But twice, really, you're going to go through something like this where you've got somebody in a mega star in limbo?
Well, you know, I think it's probably the very, you know, high odds of getting stuck with not one but two of the biggest divas in the NFL, because when you look at the rest of that Steeler roster, minus Roethlisberger, who, if you recall, was actually even a bigger jerk 3-4 years ago than these guys have proven to be with his off-the-field peccadilloes. He seems to have cleaned up his act, but the rest of that locker room is really solid veteran-type guys, you know, who seem to be pretty high-character guys. I know I would absolutely want a Cameron Hayward or a David DeCastro or a Ramon Foster, Marcus Gilbert. These guys, I'd want them in my locker room any day. So I don't think it's systemic. I don't think it's that the Steelers have come apart and don't know what they're doing. And I don't think Bell's always been a little bit crazy, but I think this Brown stuff has really escalated over the last two seasons. And maybe it's because he was the sixth-round pick out of Central Michigan, and you know, it took a while for his ego to catch up with his craziness. So it's certainly unfortunate. It certainly leaves the Steelers in a bad position, but I don't know that I'd read a lot more into it than that.
Who's the right team to make a bet on Nick Foles?
Don't rule out the Oakland Raiders, because I'm hearing more and more that John Gruden is unhappy with David Carr. Don't rule out the Baltimore Ravens, who can kid themselves all they want if they think they have a future with Lamar Jackson. Certainly the Cincinnati Bengals. Excuse me, guys. This voice has been gone for 5 weeks. I don't know what's up. Don't rule out the Bengals, who know now that Andy Dalton's probably not the answer, and they're redoing that coaching staff. I wouldn't rule out the Arizona Cardinals. That would be a shorter-term deal, most likely, but Josh Rosen is a long ways off. Mm. And then there's going to be a surprise team or two, you know, that we haven't quite identified yet. I don't know what you got Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn thinking about Matt Stafford after this season, you know, and that's a contract they'd love to be able to unload. So there's going to be a couple surprises in the group, but those first three, four teams that I mentioned are the ones I'm hearing the most about right now.
Hub, thanks. We'll let you rest your voice. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, I left out the Miami Dolphins. You got to plug the Dolphins into that equation on Foles, too.
That is Hub Arkish. Tomorrow he will answer your calls, your questions. He'll respond to your comments. That will be at noon tomorrow right here. When we come back, not only will you have another chance to win $1,000 in cash, I mentioned this before, that somebody whose name has come up is as part of a major sports story of the last year might finally be out of a job, probably at least a year too late.
Comeuppance is a decent thing every now and again. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6.
Given the reality of the marketplace in which those guys exist, and given their need at running back and their connection to that player, if Kareem Hunt is going to be employed somewhere in the NFL next year, the Bears are very likely to be on the short list of teams that are going to be considering giving him that employment.
Might be their biggest positional need.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Looking to secure financing on a new home or refinance your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg. Breaking news: to provide listeners additional financing options and substantially lower rates, Team Hochberg is now originating loans at Homeside Lending. Team Hochberg's Chicago-based loan officers and in-house underwriters will enable them to approve loans within days of receiving a complete file from their borrowers. In the coming weeks, David will highlight Homeside's proprietary new loan programs, like cash-out refinances up to 95% of the value of your home with a minimum 680 credit score and construction, to permanent loans on both FHA and VA loans. Team Hochberg's new toll-free number is, write it down, 855-56-DAVID. That's 855-563-2843. Or you can visit their new website, 56david.com, 56david.com. Team Hochberg loan officers: David Hochberg, Kevin Kokemon, Lynn Tecrudetong, Jose Rodriguez, Scott Ellis, Cindy Piazza, J.P. Marzano, Thomas Byrne, and Anna Eckroth have helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call. 855-56-DAVID. That's 855-563-2843. Or visit 56david.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, MB-676-1019, NMLS 1124061.
This is happening. I'm sitting at my standing desk, not necessarily looking at celebrity gossip, when Kevin bursts in.
The new homepage module is supposed to go live this month, Deirdre, and the dev team's backed up for weeks.
Kevin's solution is to sweat through his shirt. I hop on Upwork and hire a web dev agency with a flawless success rating. Because the new module will be getting done. And thanks to Upwork, this is happening.
Oh, you got this under control.
Oh, Kevin. As a matter of fact, I do.
Upwork. Hire freelancers. Make things happen.
Say it again.
10 for 10. This week, 10 for 10 is back at Meijer. Get over 1,500 family favorites for just a dollar. Like Meijer sandwich bread, extra large avocados, Chobani flip yogurt, Barilla pasta, 8-ounce Dawn, soft soap liquid hand soap, and so much more for just a dollar each at Meijer. Mix or match 10 items and get the 11th free. Why pay more? 10 for 10. Exclusions apply. See all the deals at Meijer.com.
Some job boards make you sort through tons of the wrong resumes, which makes finding a great candidate like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. That's not smart. The smart way? ZipRecruiter. They actively find and invite qualified candidates to apply. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
Try ZipRecruiter now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
The kitchen calendar may say 2019, but if your kitchen's more like 1992, come into the Home Depot for up to 30% off appliance special buys. Like a four-piece stainless steel Samsung kitchen suite, now just $2,978. More than 2,000 off a Samsung fridge, gas range, microwave, and dishwasher. Better mark it on your new calendar. Up to 30% off select appliances. Now, at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Electric range available at extra cost. Valid through January 23rd.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's has the brand's pros trust to get the job done. Come in today during our Pro Stock Up and Save event to get 15% off all Bosch tools and accessories. Then save on your next paint job with 15% off select paint like Valspar Pro and painting supplies like brushes, caulk, and tape. But hurry, these deals are for one day only. So, Pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offers end 1/16. While supplies last, U.S. only.
Unisom presents A Bedtime Story.
A lot of people ask me, "Hey Einstein, how do you get all those ideas?" My formula is simple. get a good night's sleep. Because sleep equals dreams, and dreams are where the magic happens. With Unisom sleep tabs, you get to your dreams faster because you'll fall asleep 33% faster. So good night, sleep tight, and keep your dreams alive with Unisom.
Versus placebo in a clinical study. Use as directed.
How many years of your life have you lost working on something you do not like? Free yourself now, this new year. Start a career in the industry that moves the world. Radio, television, social media. If working in media is what you're looking for, start learning how to be a content creator, an influencer, a DJ, host your own sports program with the Illinois Media School in Lombard. At the Illinois Media School in Lombard, you will learn hands-on with instructors that have real industry experience, like me. Call 630-916-1700 and schedule that appointment today. The Illinois Media School Lombard helps you turn your dream into reality in just 8 short months. Change your life today with just one phone call. Registration for January classes is open now. Call right now the Illinois Media School in Lombard, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700.
Want to save $100 on tires? Don't worry, call the Car X Man. Save $100 on any set of 4 new tires at Car X Tire and Auto. Stop in, call, or schedule online at CarX.com.
Don't worry, call the Car X Man.
At participating locations, see store for details.
Welterweight superstars return to the ring.
You think I'm back at it? Guess what, Jahmara? Never been gold.
When legendary 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao.
I got the belt. I am a champion. Let's get it on.
Meets 4-time champ Adrian the Problem Broner.
I'm going to be victorious.
Two of the biggest stars in boxing. One explosive fight.
These two courageous warriors putting it all on the line. And the crowd loving every second of it.
Pacquiao versus Broner. Saturday at 9 Eastern. Live on pay-per-view.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is turn. Text turn to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is turn to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. You mentioned earlier the number of college quarterbacks and top college quarterbacks that transfer.
Quick
as far as
piece of news here, Jalen Hurts, a national champion, is going from Alabama to Oklahoma.
And he is eligible
to play right away, so he'll slide in for the Heisman winner, Kyler Murray. And Lincoln Riley gets himself a quarterback who can kind of throw. He'll be fine. I would trust Lincoln Riley with Jalen Hurts, even though the throwing thing isn't, you know, he's not Tua.
No, he can get better at it, though. We'll see.
I hope so. Good on him for being able to transfer in the first place, though.
And he can play right away?
But from what I understand, from what the reporting has been, he is eligible to play right away. I believe he's graduated.
There is a special meeting that has been called in East Lansing, Michigan, for tomorrow. And it may finally be the meeting that results in the ouster of interim president John Engler. This guy is a walking piece of garbage. Has been the entire time. Probably was as governor as well, the former Michigan governor. Ever since he has taken the job in the wake of the Larry Nassar gymnastics and athletics scandal, has shamed victims, has mistreated victims, has done everything he can do to stand in their way. And it fits a pattern of behavior with him. I don't know how or why this guy was they settled on him in the interim position once Lou Anna Simon was forced out. And is she in jail yet? Do they find her guilty yet? I thought they did. But it may finally have been a bridge too far for the MSU trustees when John Engler talked to the Detroit News and said that Nassar victims, quote, who've been in the spotlight, who are still enjoying that moment at times, you know, the awards and the recognition.
Dirtbag.
This guy just sucks. Saying that victims of sexual assault at the hands of Larry Nassar are enjoying the moment, reaping the rewards and the recognition. This guy should be launched into the sun. And it may finally be enough that he's going to be asked to resign or outright fired by a board of trustees that had had a large swath of that board protecting him for a long time. And it wasn't the first time that they've come close to doing it, because if you remember, he was also the very same guy who had made up stories about a victim getting kickbacks from lawyers, that he thought that there were people coming out of the woodwork to try to say they were abused who weren't abused. This guy has done everything to hurt abusers, to make their life difficult, rather than trying to help, trying to listen, and trying to make his campus a safer place.
It's really a despicable job of being a trustee at a place of higher learning. And really any place, but a place that purports itself to be what Michigan State has said it like to be. That's horrifying.
Oh, my God. Just awful. So the sooner they can get rid of him, the better. But it in some ways, it kind of reminds me of waking up to the realization that a congressman is an outright racist and Nazi sympathizer. And it's like, oh, well, we didn't know before.
Yeah, we're finally going to fold in on this guy.
Right. It's just like, as with Engler, like right now they're realizing, maybe the guy's a scumbag.
Sometimes it's tough to celebrate doing that in the kind of time frame that it's getting done in, you know?
Yes.
I suppose
what took you so long?
There's joy to be had, I guess, or in fixing the issue at hand, because God knows what could happen if it's allowed to fester.
Yeah, getting him off your campus makes your campus a better place. How about University of Michigan, too? How about they hired, as a coach, one of the people in USA Gymnastics that there was a significant part of the cover-up.
No, I hadn't seen this. Coach at Michigan?
To coach the women's team at Michigan, and she was hired, and then 2 days later they fired her when so many victims and family members and friends of victims and people who just understand what's going on, have a brain in their head, stood up and said, this is the woman that was helping to keep information away about everything that was going on regarding Nassar. She was part of the cover-up. You're hiring her to coach the team.
Sorry, we didn't know that.
Right.
We didn't Wikipedia. We didn't Google. We didn't do anything.
So it's not just Michigan State. It was also University of Michigan dealing with that as well. And here's the other thing, too. Because of the sheer number of Nassar victims and the ages at which this all was continuing to go on, if you think this is just starting with Allie Raceman and Rachel Den Hollander and some of the others, there are going to be more and more and more who are not only empowered to come forward, but to be activists, to be outspoken, to form a sizable and influential group that wants to reform a sport that is close to not existing. So this is, I would say, for people like Engler who think they can just cut a bunch of checks and then shut everybody up and slam some doors and turn the faucet off, understand that the entire culture has changed. And if the sport is going to be salvaged for people within there, and because I had said USA Gymnastics, which now I believe is in the process of being dissolved entirely.
As I understand it, yeah.
As it should be, and built up from the beginning. But you've got a lot more listening to do. You've got a lot more awareness, a lot more shut up and listen before you're able to build everything up and say, we've moved on. You're not supposed to move on yet.
No. No, it's not quite time. Just to wrap up some of the reporting that got done, or at least tie together some of the reporting that got done earlier on in the show, piece of news was Buster Olney tweeting out that the White Sox offer to Manny Machado was 7 years, $175 million. And for those of you who can't divide in your head like I can't, that's about $25 million a year average annual value. Southside Sox on Twitter, good guys to follow if you're a Sox fan or just a baseball fan one way or the other. They kind of summed it up nicely. That means that the network has had in-house reports on the average annual value of a Manny Machado contract somewhere between the $25 million range to the $31.25 million range. And I get that we're starved for news, and you kind of welcome any reporting that gets done at this point in the winter. But doesn't that seem like a large range to you? For average annual value, we've had a lot of people texting in about, you know, when we were discussing the contract in the first place and how low it seemed to be given the value that those guys hold, that, oh, there could be opt-outs and maybe it's, you know, the first 3 years for $60 million or something like that. The average annual value will still matter when it comes to agents talking to ownership, when it comes to agents talking to other agents and other clients, when it comes to the union talking to baseball. Those things are still going to be benchmarks.
These are bellwether deals that set markets for everybody.
You've never had, well, sure you have, but it's been an offseason. It's been quite an offseason when two of these guys are waiting like this. So Craig Edwards, who writes for Fangraphs, put this out on Twitter a little while ago, and I've retweeted it. It's just a little graph, just a little note of what's been going on. If you took the giant contracts that have been signed over the last decade or so, talking about the two Alex Rodriguez deals, Giancarlo Stanton's deal, Manny Ramirez's deal back in the day, and if you took the average annual values adjusted to current dollars, you know, essentially adjusted for inflation, right? That means A-Rod's deal that he signed in 2001 puts him at $59 million a year in terms of this year's money. Alex Rodriguez in 08, 45. Jeter, 45. Stanton, 30. Manny Ramirez, 47. Albert Pujols, 36. I mean, it's not hard to see where the line is headed here, see where the graph is starting to go in terms of free agency. And while it might be the smart course for franchises and ensuring their long-term viability and competition level, that doesn't mean that the union has to like it. That doesn't mean that players have to like where you're headed. And that doesn't mean that they're going to just acquiesce to whatever that force is. There is money in baseball, a lot.
I was just
going
to say, you have to put that graph up against the money that owners are making.
It's in the opposite direction. Opposite direction.
Right. That's what's crazy, is the gap is widening because of how much money baseball owners are making. And it's very, in every next texter, they make $1 million. It's more than I make. They should be happy to get whatever they can get. I don't know why people side with ownership on this.
I don't either. Do you want to watch baseball? Well, then you might have to root for millionaires.
I've never understood it. John Heyman just sent out this tweet. If the White Sox offer to Machado really is $175 million, that is $150 million plus less than asking price. Multiple sources say his agent at different times has asked teams to top Stanton. Stanton was $325 million, quite a gap.
Wow. That is a gigantic gap.
South Shore, Bill, you're on WSCR.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I've just been watching the Bulls all year, having a laugh. And my thing is, do you remember when MJ was on SNL and they did that skit where he played for Boston? And every time he would score and do something extravagant, everyone would boo him. And then they would put him back into the Red Auerbach motion offense, and then everyone would go crazy. I mean, I think that's what Jim Boylan learned his offense. And my question is, I almost wonder if Paxton and Gar put this man in there to try and get the first pick for real. I don't think that they would have that much foresight.
No.
I mean,
no,
it's like
a bad year to do it with how they changed the draft.
No. Bill, there's no way that they want their core players coached badly and wrong on purpose.
No, that ruins development, and that's what we're seeing now with Lauri Markkanen. I mean, that entire second, he gets a touch early in the second, and I'm just kind of looking around. Where's
it's like they're Lowry trying to get to bad spots to take bad shots at the worst times. That's what it looks like.
Plus, it'd be a bad year to do it, considering the way they've split the odds of grabbing the first pick of the draft. I mean, it's the bottom three teams, bottom three teams all get the same amount of odds at landing the number one pick in the draft.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Allstate Arena tonight, 7 p.m. The Chicago Wolves host Grand Rapids in a battle for first place in the American Hockey League Central Division. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for tickets and join in the quest to be the last team standing. We are told, by the way, that at this Cubs convention that is starting this weekend, just got this little note of news, Cubs ownership will not take questions.
At the convention.
Breaking from tradition.
They've done that for a long time.
That has been a critical part of the Cubs convention.
One of the most enjoyable parts, really.
Bruce Miles tweeted it out and said they're going to take part in Ryan Dempster's thing that he's doing on Friday, but not fielding questions from fans.
Well, you can probably blame Addison Russell for that.
But you can hear Tom answer questions tomorrow morning on The Score with Mullie and Haw.
That's right. Tom will be on at 7:40 tomorrow morning on the Mullie and Haw Show.
We are Bernstein and McKnight. Next up, McNeil and Parkins will say good afternoon to them for Transition on The Score.
For all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules.
Looking to make a change in your career? There's no better time than the start of a new year. Schneider, an industry-leading trucking company, is hiring drivers now and holding hiring events near you. Meet a local recruiter with the potential for a same-day job offer. Events are coming up throughout the entire month of January in the Chicago area, and you can now RSVP at schneiderjobs.com/events. Find the event closest to you. Get full event details and RSVP now at schneiderjobs.com/events. First Student Glen Ellen is hiring part-time school bus drivers and is offering a $19 per hour starting wage, paid CDL training, and sign-on bonuses of up to $3,000. Visit their on-site driver hiring event on Thursday, January 17th from 10 to 1 at 22 West 760 Paas Street to find out what it takes to put you in the driver's seat. There'll be on-the-spot interviews and potential job offers. Be sure to stop by this Thursday from 10 to 1 at 22 West 760 Paas Street or apply online today at firstgroupcareers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pick and Pull would like to introduce you to Dr. Cash.
Doctor of everything green.
Meaning the doctor here just recycled that old junk car that's been sitting in his driveway.
And got cash.
Because he needs cash.
Everybody needs cash.
If you've got an old junk car and need immediate cash, doesn't matter if it can't start, won't smog, or isn't registered, call Cash for Junk Cars at 800-607-5881 and turn it into cash now. That's 800-607-5881.
And Pick and Pull will arrange a tow and give you top dollar for your junk car.
That's Cash for Junk Cars at 800-607-5881.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Call 800-607-5881 if you're suffering from DD.
Dollar dysfunction.
Or II.
Irregular income.
And have a JC.
Junk car.
Yes, Cash for Junk Cars is your prescription for immediate money. So call 800-607-5881 and get cash from Pick and Pull, where we sell parts and we buy cars.
Cash for Junk Cars.
800-607-5881. 800-607-5881.
If your New Year's resolution was to finally schedule that vasectomy you've been putting off for so long, then you have to call Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. The doctors at Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago are dedicated to providing their patients with the highest quality care, a very gentle technique, and a caring and comfortable environment. Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago offers a safe, easy, and virtually painless, no needle, no scalpel, in-office vasectomy. Now is the time to make good on your New Year's resolution and schedule a vasectomy at Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. What better way to use your newly replenished flex spending money than to finally schedule that vasectomy you've been putting off for so long? If your family's complete, log on to vasectomychicago.com, read the testimonials, and learn more about the no-needle, no-scalpel in-office vasectomy offered at Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. They have four locations in downtown Chicago at Lake Point Tower, now with free valet parking in Naperville, Tinley Park, and Arlington Heights. Most insurance accepted. That's vasectomychicago.com or call toll-free 877-877-4VAS. That's 877-877-4827.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Shopping like a CEO? My, look at those savings.
Right now at Staples, save like a big cheese, a big shot, a boss.
Because this week, get $25 off when you buy any two HP toners at Staples. Those are boss-size savings.
Start the new year right by stocking up on HP toner and saving big at Staples.
Where there's a whole lot in store.
Ends 1/19/19. Restrictions may apply. See store associate or staples.com/toner savings for details.
What if every time you went out, you could cash in? Now with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, like celebrating every year the crew gets older. Or when you and your crew are courtside during overtime. No matter your reason for going out, now you have four more. Introducing the new Saver Card from Capital One. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Webb Ford is starting the year with the best savings.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.